Let's break down how you can take the drama out of your decision-making in part two of Emotions That Sink You, Evidence That Saves You. Hat Chats. Welcome to another episode of Hat Chats. This is your host, Michelle Baker, and this is part two of the Emotions That Sink You, Evidence That Saves You series. So it is a part of my journey from my first 50,000 that I made on Etsy, in which I went through a huge emotional roller coaster ride. In part one, I basically told the story about a point early in my shop's journey where I was really starting to gain momentum. I had made, I think, close to a 40,000 at that point, and I was really feeling super encouraged and you know, full throttle. And then I had my shop shut down on Etsy, and it was a mistake. It was just a misunderstanding. It was down for about 3 days, and then it was reinstated. But what came next for me was this perfect storm of rage, revelation, and just good old-fashioned fear and freak out that, you know, what happened is some actions that I took when I was in that storm of emotions had long-term consequences. And I think that that's something when you work independently and you're not in a business situation, you don't need to consult with other people, you're just all action, you know, let's go, let's move. You don't really sometimes have the luxury of consulting with other people and maybe having someone give you a little perspective, and we get a little close to the emotions involved. And that's what had happened to me. So hopefully in this series, the lessons in all of this will help you and in me as we learn to be careful about making decisions when we're running on emotions that are just running so high and we're not really considering the hard facts or the wider perspective on things. So this is definitely a lesson that I've taken to heart. Not saying I'll never make these mistakes again, but I think just that first step is being self-aware that sometimes we need to take a step back. And so in this segment, this is part two, we'll really be focusing on the emotional aspects. And the next segment, we will focus on the evidence and how you can create the type of evidence and metrics and support system that will help you balance yourself out when you're having those times that you need a sound perspective. You don't just need to go talk to your friend or your neighbor or your mom because they aren't, you know, necessarily equipped to give you advice on what you're doing in your business. What you need is something that gives you advice that is super relevant to your sales, your systems, what you create. And, you know, if you're working alone, I have to tell you, you're going to have to make that yourself because you're the one who knows that stuff. You know it best and you know where to find that. And so this whole series is designed to help you make the best use of all the information that's available to you, because it really is available. And it's, for me, I found in my journey, there's a lot of data available to me. And I don't know about you, but I have a terrible memory for numbers and figures. And it doesn't mean that we're bad at math or like we're terrible with numbers. You know, I think that's a mindset thing that we need to move on from. You know, if we can add and subtract and, you know, or even just have a spreadsheet do that for us, add and subtract, it's fine. It's just for me, being very visual, I learn visually and I like things presented to me visually. I found that I needed to set up systems that would do that for me so that I didn't have to keep beating myself up that I don't know the numbers or I don't remember this and that. But these are factors that we do need in our business. So like I said, the next segment will be about that, about building systems to help us, to help support us with real data. So, but this one, we're going in with just emotions. We're going to be talking about all the warm, fuzzy, and angry, icky feelings that we can go through. So I have a couple of stories that are kind of quick, but that have stuck with me. And this was years and years ago. One of my first jobs, I was like, I don't know, 20 years old, 21. And I was complaining in the break room about something that had happened with my boyfriend at the time. And we, at the time, we had the founder of our company was this very soft-spoken, extremely intelligent older gentleman. And he didn't say much, but when he did, it was like everybody listened. He was that kind of strong, quiet presence, you know. And I was complaining about, so I forget what it was, but I know I remember saying, it's just, he makes me feel like, you know, blah, 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 whatever it was. And he said, this gentleman said to me, young lady, and you could hear a pin drop, nobody can make you feel any certain way. You do that all yourself. And he even pointed his finger at me a little bit, with a little bit of the finger wag. And I was, you know, I had just been so, what do you call it, like dressed down, or just like, oh boy, you know, like dad just gave me a talking to. But it was one of those things, like, I don't know, he's like Yoda. When Yoda says to you, you know, do or do not, there is no try. It was just one of those nuggets that I have carried with me. This is like decades later that I still remember him saying that. Nobody else can make you feel a certain way. You do that all yourself. And that will still pop into my head on days where I'm having a tough day and I'm feeling like somebody did something, and as a result, I feel blah, blah, blah. And I still argue with this guy in my head because, you know, I think you know, if somebody says something to you or a situation comes at you, you know, of course it's the situation's fault that they made you feel that way. And really, I mean, at the end of the day, the old gentleman was right. You know, it's really how we are going to choose to react to a situation. I mean, I wish I could say, oh, that was decades ago and now I've mastered it. Nothing makes me feel upset. Nobody can shake me. Nope. I mean, I am a product of my emotions more often than not. But there does come a point when you have to rise above the situation, rise above what a person said, what a customer said, what your spouse said, whatever it is that's going on and making you feel a certain way. You need to rise above that and say, okay, I accept that that made me feel a certain way. So what am I going to do? And the so, you're going to see I'm a little bit big on acronyms, and I don't mean to be, but they just happen. So, S-O, solution oriented. What comes next? Okay, that made me feel a certain way. So, solution oriented, what am I going to do? How am I going to react? You know, when you see all those motivational posters that pretty much tell you that, you know, we can't control life, we can't control situations, but we can control our reactions. And it's great. Like, those are awesome little posters and things to put on your Pinterest board, because it's true, but God, it's not that easy. I mean, let's dive in here. What are some things we can actually put into use so that we say, okay, it's time to control my reaction now. So step one, step two, like, what do I do? What do I actually do to control how I'm going to react in this situation? And so now that's our acronym. So solution oriented. This segment is going to be very quick and to the point about three main takeaways, three different things that I do put into use. Maybe just one for a situation, maybe all three, but the three things, and these are easy to remember: fly, by, and why. So fly is the first one we're going to talk about. The first way to kind of assess when you're in a situation is to fly up, to rise above it. And they say take a bird's eye view of something, right? Widen your perspective first. Give yourself a chance to say, all right, you know, I am embroiled in these feelings because this just happened, or, you know, so-and-so said something and now I have to react because they're waiting for a response. You know, sometimes your situation isn't such that you can say, let me get back to you on that. But if if there is a chance that you can, that's also a good one to buy yourself time. That's the next one. Buy. Anytime you can buy yourself time before you give an important decision or an important reaction, that's going to help you. Even if it's 20 seconds. I'm in a lot of situations actually where I even take the opportunity to tell someone, give me a second here. I'm just processing that. You know, I'm not sitting here silently ignoring you. It's not like dead space on the telephone or just staring awkwardly in a meeting. But I'll actually indicate to them, give me just a minute. Let me think about that. It's okay to say that. You know, we're living in a time where instant response is like king. It's not always the best way to go. If you need to buy yourself time, now if you can buy yourself more time, a few hours before you send back an email, or if it's a really big decision, can you sleep on it? You know, tomorrow's a new day and you're probably going to feel very different in 12 or 16 hours if you can buy yourself that much time. And the whys exercise is something I also want to dive in on. You know, there's a proven method or popular method that is called the five whys. And this helps you kind of interrogate yourself or interrogate a situation so that you can really get to the root core of what needs to be solved. I mean, sometimes a problem really is a big bowl of spaghetti and you don't even know where to begin. And that's where we get feelings of overwhelm and, oh my God, I don't know where to start. And the five whys is something that can really help you sort of chip away and get to the core of step one, what you need to address first. So we're going to break all three of these down just a little bit more and hopefully give you a nice arsenal of ways that you can react to a situation even when you're just feeling all the feels and the emotions are running really high. Running our own business. And I've never gone to business school. I don't have a degree in business. I do have a degree in art. I have a couple of them. But I've been freelance and independently employed more years than I worked for an employer. And I had a pretty good mix of both. But at this point, I read a lot about business development and methodologies and systems and how to run a successful business, and I love it. And at the same time, a lot of what I read or listen to and audiobooks and blogs and podcasts isn't specific to people who are artists, artisans, creators, designers working in their own studio environment. So my goal is to take what I find and apply it to a more specific audience that is like I am. People who are kind of creative, maybe a little bit, I don't want to say abstract, but, you know, who are just not working in the same confines as a big business would be or a bigger structure. And so I hope that these takeaways will help you in the stories that I tell are relevant to what my studio has gone through. And so the first one I'm going to dive into here is a story about a struggle that I had success with. And hopefully this is something that you can kind of think about and apply to when you're having a struggle that you don't know where to begin. As I mentioned, the five whys is a methodology that you can use to really break down a problem that you're feeling is overwhelming and you're feeling maybe you don't know where to begin with. And basically the five whys, if you can see this right on Wikipedia, it says not all problems have a single root cause. If you wish to uncover multiple root causes, the method of asking why must be repeated, asking a different sequence of questions each time. It says, as an example, I like this example, but then I'll tell you how it worked for my business. An example of a problem would be, this vehicle will not start, the car won't start. So the first why, you say, okay, the car won't start, why? The battery is dead. Why? So you get to pretend you're like a 4-year-old. Why? Well, the battery's dead because the alternator isn't functioning. Why? Well, the alternator belt has broken. Why? The alternator belt was well beyond its useful service life and not replaced. Why? This is your fifth why. The vehicle was not maintained according to the recommended service schedule. And there, in this example, that fifth why has given you the root cause. Now, you could be a mechanic, right? And you could look at that car's engine, open the hood and be like, okay, you know, the problem here is the alternator belt has to be replaced. Okay. And boom, you replace it, right? But did you get to the root cause? No, you didn't. You are going to fix that problem, but might there be other problems that are going to pop up in the next 2 weeks, 2 months, or year if you haven't solved the root cause? If you have a driver who is not maintaining that vehicle, are other things going to keep popping up? Yeah. So the more whys you ask, the deeper you can delve into the root cause of a problem. Now, you can probably go a little crazy with this too, and you know, you don't want to start psychoanalyzing the person who owns the car and why are they not maintaining the vehicle. So it, like it says, there are not necessarily hard and fast rules. You might go 6, 7, or 8 levels, but generally it gets you thinking outside of the really evidential, like obvious stuff that you can see at a glance. Because you know you have certain problems at a glance, that's why you're addressing them. But to dig a little bit deeper, the five whys will help you unveil what you really have to address. So something that was really, I was struggling with a lot of things going on when I was getting started, and I was feeling very, very jammed up, very bottlenecked. And I think that can happen very quickly in a handmade business. When you start to see success, it's great. You're like exhilarated because you're getting all that. There's all this demand for what you're making. And then you realize, oh my gosh, how am I going to keep up? And you know, you start to create a lot of problems for yourself in that type of a spiral, because the first thing is, I need to not take as many orders. I need to get caught up. So if you start, if you stop your marketing efforts, then you're going to create some kind of dip in your sales further down the line. If you don't have any way to scale or just make your process faster and easier, that's where your bottlenecks will happen. And that's what was happening at a point in my business. And part of what was happening was I had to outsource some printing that it was just costing me a lot of time, and I needed to pick up the turnaround time. And I, by asking the five whys, I was able to dig deeper into one of the parts of my bottleneck that was solvable. So again, when going back to being solution oriented, what was something that I needed to solve? And of course, when you're in the throes of emotions, of like you're overwhelmed, you're straight out busy, you don't know which way is up. It can be tough to like figure out where to start. What do I fix first? I probably need to fix 10 things, but I don't even know what. This was one way that I was able to sort of self-diagnose. Okay, I need a printer. Like I need a serious high-end printing solution. And then identifying that became a very specific problem for me. I became really hyper-focused for, I don't know, it was maybe like a week or so where that was a new problem for me to have. I thought, okay, I need a really high-end printer, but, you know, budget. And so there were a lot of things to figure out. Well, how's this going to work? You know, oddly enough, I don't know how much you believe in serendipity, but it's not even a woo woo. Oh, that, you know, the universe made it all align. You know, I do believe in it to an extent, but I think some of it is just our mental focus. It's not like all this magic fairy dust swirled around and the printer manifested in front of me. What happened was I was sitting at karate one night waiting for my kids and chatting with this gentleman that I've chat with from time to time. And it occurred to me in our conversation, I could remember seeing his vehicle. And then I remembered, you know what? I think this guy's in the printing business or printer business. So I talked to him, and sure enough, his company leases and rents high-end printing equipment. I mean, it's not like the universe, you know, swept this person in on fairy dust and magic dragons into this karate dojo. I've talked to this guy for many months, but my mental focus at that point had shifted. And then it's what's called reticular activation. When you're focusing on something, those solutions will present themselves to you more clearly because of your mental focus on something. You know, you bought a white car and you're in love with it and it's great. And then as soon as you start driving it or trying to find it in the parking lot, you realize, oh my God, everybody has this same car. This, you know, my white car is just like everyone else's. And you're noticing them all the time because you're keyed in. You're just mentally keyed into that. So the five whys will help you to find one area that you can hyper-focus on, figure out the solution for that, and then your five whys might have also diagnosed two or three other things that need attention, but at least you can break it down with that. And then you can take steps instead of just being emotional. My first emotion, honestly, when I figured out I really, in order to solve my problem, is I need this printer that's going to cost many thousands of dollars. That was a terrible feeling. I didn't have that. That wasn't in my budget at the time. But then to hyper-focus on being solution-oriented, how can I make this happen? I was able to talk to someone who was pretty easy to find. I mean, he's been right there in front of me all that time. And just like that, I was able to work out a rental deal with this company and you know, bring in high-end equipment into my home. At a price that I could afford, you know, not just sinking thousands of dollars into it, because for me, that was too much risk at that time. I didn't want to just, you know, go out on a whim and say, oh, well, I hope if I buy this multi-thousand-dollar thing that this business will keep doing well. It was too soon for me. I don't like that much risk right off the bat. So that turned out to be a good situation and a good solution. Buy yourself time is the next one that I want to really break down here. This one I think everybody can use because, like I mentioned before, we live in this kind of culture now that people expect immediate responses. And, you know, there are certain really good ways you can do that. On Etsy, you can set up snippets that you can build preemptively, so that when someone asks you a question that you get all the time, you have a pre-scripted response that you just click a button. And I like to add their name. I like to say, hi, Anne-Marie, comma, and then hit the snippet button. And thanks so much for asking about customized, blah, blah, blah. And you give the answer that everybody asks all the time. It saves you time and it saves you emotional investment because sometimes it can be questions that might be a trigger for you. You might get the same question all the time and your answer is, no, I don't do that. And you don't want to come across that way. You don't want to come across frustrated or just exasperated that some stupid person has the same stupid question. You know, and you know what? We all have days where you can feel that way. And it probably most often doesn't have anything to do with the fact that that person is stupid or that the question is stupid. It usually isn't. It's usually something that we're going through. It's usually something that we're carrying over from something else, some other area in our life that has us a little bit off kilter that day. And, you know, someone sends you a message or an inquiry at the wrong time, bad timing. So there are a couple of ways you can really kind of keep your professionalism. And these pre-generated responses are one way. You can do that on Etsy with the snippets, but you can also just do that in your own. I do it with my own website. I have some sticky notes, a notepad, you know, electronic sticky notes that I just copy and paste from, which is the same idea. I'll just send an email back. Hi, so-and-so. Thanks for your inquiry. And then copy and paste my answer so that I'm much less frustrated and I'm much more efficient in getting back to them, and it doesn't take me long. So it's just check it off the list and at least they got their reply. Another thing Etsy's doing now, it's fairly recent. It's been up for a little while, but you can actually have an autoresponder so that the instant somebody emails you, you can get back to them with even just a quick, "Hi, I'm away from the studio," or I'm out right now, or my typical hours are, you know, such and such, because a lot of people are using Etsy as like a side hustle, and they get frustrated that a customer wants an immediate response. They expect this higher level customer service, and there's a mismatch of expectations there when someone's thinking that you're just sitting there all day 24/7 waiting to take their questions. and you can feel frustrated as a seller that they expect that. And so what we never want is that frustration to come through with customer service. So buying yourself time. Buy yourself time by pre-scripting things, by having autoresponders if that applies to you, if necessary. And buy yourself time to think about, sometimes it's not just pre-scripted. Sometimes you need to consider, you know, you'll get asked to do something, or, you know, something that's a little bit out of the norm. You don't have a pre-canned response to it. Figure out how much time you think you can afford before you respond. What do you need to think about? A saying that I've always liked ever since I heard it is, anything we say yes to means we're saying no to something else. So sometimes you might get this kind of opportunity, and it's always going to cost you something. It might cost you a little extra time. It might cost a little more attention, and that could be fine. But it's going to be at the sacrifice of something. You know, whatever you invest more attention in, it's going to be taken from somewhere else. And so think about it. Is this really a good opportunity? If it is, you know, that's one avenue where you reply. And if it isn't, that's another. I wanted to give an example of something that happened really recently for me. I think it was about a month ago in my shop. I don't know what was going on with me that day, but I'll tell you, I was in a bad mood. it wasn't during my typical work hours. And I got a conversation from an Etsy client, and I had, my mind was just in probably five other places. And what had happened first, and this was one of the triggers for me, was I have certain items in my shop that are completely instant downloads. And you can either, some of them you just download it the way it is. Some of them are editable. And this is supposed to help my shop to be more scalable, and overall it is. But I knew when I started doing this, I had that, you know, foresight that, you know, there's always going to be a few customers who have no clue what they're buying. And when you're selling digital items, it says in my terms that these things are not refundable, because you don't want someone to buy a digital item and then say they messed up and then you refund them, but then they did download it. You know what, though, for what the price is, I will tell you, I really try to just meet them halfway or more than halfway, because mistakes do happen. And it's not like people are trying to buy and return things every day. But this woman had purchased a $9 or $9.99, you know, dollar item. And she really, the reason she wanted to return it is because she did not read a thing. And this is the frustration. And I know that I can say this because if you're selling on Etsy, you're nodding right now. You're saying, yes, people do not read. You can spend all day long writing all your terms and writing all the rules and how this works, and they don't read it. And it's very frustrating because, you know, look, we're not there in person to talk to everyone. And thank God sometimes, because that would take a lot of time. But if they're not going to read and see, like, oh, this is digital. oh, I didn't know I had to. Oh, you know, it's right there. It says it in three or four different ways. So I was, like I said, I wasn't even, it wasn't during my mentally framed office hours. I was out and about, had a lot of things going on. I get a sale. I get the cha-ching from Etsy, which is always nice. And then like within the hour, I get a, oh, I didn't realize, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, come on. You know? And that's your first, that's your emotion. That's your knee-jerk reaction. I am tired. This is a dumb question. This is a dumb situation. This is a dumb person. They didn't even read it. It's all right there. You know, these are just the knee-jerk, not thought through things. Where first of all, back away, fly up, rise above, widen the perspective. First of all, like, why am I being so, I hate to say it, but yeah, bitchy. Why am I being so bitchy? This is not a big deal. You know, why did she not see that this was a digital item? Because I like to sit here and say, come on, it's all right there. How much more clear could I make it? Well, evidently, I could probably make it more clear because it wasn't clear to her. You know, so sometimes there are some things that maybe if that was a pattern, if I was seeing that kind of thing happen every single week and I was getting two or three people saying that every, then you know what? Maybe that's on me, right? Maybe it's not just someone else who was in a hurry and had five other things going on and she just clicked purchase because it seemed easy. And then, oh, shoot, I made a mistake. You know, everyone's life is busy. Everyone's coming in from a perspective that's different from your own. So I decided that I was in a terrible mood and there was no way I was going to get back to her until I felt like I could just form a good sentence. What happened that day is I took some time and I really thought about, okay, what's she looking to get here? Why didn't it meet what she needed? And I was able to craft an email to her that not only said, hey, yeah, that's totally understandable. I'm so sorry that you misunderstood. You know, what's really typical for what you're looking for is people, so to give you a little backup, this is a signature drink sign. And the $9.99 download would have just been, this is a cute sign. It's got a cute recipe on it. You can stick this on the bar at a party, a wedding, whatever. Now, the way that my shop made most of its money was doing these custom, like really, really custom, not even just personalize a little thing here and there, like very custom. So I told her about that. I took that opportunity to, instead of being upset that she didn't like what she downloaded because it wasn't going to meet her needs, I said, oh, yeah, I totally hear what you're saying. And, congratulations on the upcoming wedding, ! Yeah, you know, great idea. What we can do for you is something that's really popular. My customers typically like to have something like that done custom. And I go into great detail, not great detail, but like probably had like three or four sentences about basically the features and benefits, what I could do for her. And also what that product, what the custom version of that product could do for her, which is, oh, and it's a great keepsake for the couple, and it's a conversation piece. It's kind of an icebreaker at your cocktail hour when everyone's waiting for the pictures to be done. And I just put myself into the salesperson mode. That turned a $9.99 item into a $75 sale that day because I sold her on the other things that, you know, were much more personal, much more something that had a deeper meaning to her than just this $10 download. So there are opportunities when we have interactions with customers, there are opportunities that you can turn it around. And especially I think sometimes just with language, when people write, you don't always get a real sense of the person. Not everybody comes across well in the written words. So sometimes you can think that your customer is being snippy at you and they don't mean to be, they just don't really, everybody writes differently. And, you know, it's funny, like my husband sees me when I write to my customers and he teased me once because he goes, my God, you use so many exclamation points. He goes, I don't think I've ever used an exclamation point in any correspondence. And I said, well, that's because you deal with like really serious engineer people. I'm dealing with a lot of brides and they're like, they're very excited. This is their wedding and you have to be happy, exclamation point. So sometimes you have to understand that sometimes it's English is not their first language, or they're just not great at writing, or they're typing on their phone and maybe it seems like English is their second language, but it's really just autocorrect. So take the opportunity, buy yourself time, because you can buy yourself more space for opportunity, more space to create a better interaction with a customer, better interaction with the people around you. That's just something that I think not only buying time, but buying an opportunity to look at the bigger picture. And this is the segue into metrics, really, where we go into the big picture. And I'm going to finish up here with, when I say fly and I look at the big picture, when I'm talking about emotions that sink you and evidence that saves you, evidence to me is metrics. And metrics is things like numbers and reports and all those things that us creatives love, right? Like we just jump out of bed to make those spreadsheets, right? I know that it's not like the thing we live to do, but here's what the reality is. When we're able to have the data it unlocks the secrets to our own business, not just like, hey, if you want to sell on Etsy, here's the top five things to do. I'm talking about your specific thing. You know, are you hand knitting something? Are you making, are you cutting vinyl and personalizing tumblers? And are you drawing portraits? Are you painting pet portraits? Are you sewing? Like every single, you can't just, well, you can. Everybody out there on YouTube is generalizing how to rock it on Etsy. But it's only going to take you so far. The most important things that you need to know about your business are things that you are going to have to dig out of your own business. And we're finishing up with the whole fly part because backing away, widening your perspective, it's a good segue between we've been talking about emotions and how to sort of control what we do after we've sort of gone through the initial emotional reaction. What is the solution-oriented thing we're going to do? And with backing away, getting the wider perspective, fly, we're not just talking about the emotional side, but we're going to start talking about the evidence and the metrics. And of course, that's not this segment. We're going to be wrapping up here. But the next segment, we'll dive into, not just saying, hey, you really need some systems in your business and some numbers and metrics to look at, the end. No, we're going to really say how to do that in the next segment. This one, basically, the widening of your perspective is encompassing your emotions and your numbers. You know, there are really two things that need to be taken into account if you're having a situation that is stressful, you feel overwhelmed, there's a lot of pressure, you're feeling a little bit maybe confused or just, you know that an action needs to be taken, but you're maybe not sure if you know what the right action is. So the first thing is acknowledge those emotions. And like I said in the beginning of this, young lady, nobody can make you feel a certain way. You do that all yourself. I mean, oh, I still get so angry because there are days where, but they did make me feel this way and I feel this way right now. Well, yes, you do. Acknowledge that, okay? Don't say, I screwed up because I let someone make me feel a certain way. It's going to happen. That's natural. That's life. Of course, somebody's going to make you feel a certain way. Or of course, some situation is going to make you feel a certain way. Acknowledge it and then move on. Acknowledge it and say, oh, I am so mad. Huh. All right. So solution oriented. So here's what I'm going to do. from my original story. I was so mad. I was so freaked out to have the revelation that I had this really nicely growing business happening on Etsy, and then it was gone. Literally overnight, it was shut down, and I, you know, that wasn't okay with me. So being the kind of overly sensitive person that I can be, I took a really dramatic action. And, you know, we don't have to have that much drama in our lives. And here's, if I had widened my perspective better, I'm going to give you the lowdown on a couple of things that would have been better had I not done what I did. And so, what did you do, Michelle? What was so bad? I shut down my shop. Well, I didn't shut it down. I put it on vacation mode. Vacation mode is meant to serve you for like a week or two, you know. I shut it down onto vacation mode for many, many months. Now, had I thought about that more, you know, I was building my own website, and my own website did pretty well that year. It didn't crush the numbers that I had done on Etsy, though. So there's really, in hindsight, of course, hindsight is so clear, right? In hindsight, there's no reason that I couldn't have been running both shops full throttle, the website and the Etsy shop, because I didn't even offer the same exact products. There were differences. There's no reason that I could have, there was no reason for me to completely, you know, take my ball and go home. Stomp, stomp, stomp. Because the further consequences that that had, and had I been watching my metrics, this would have been an easy, oh, yeah, right. At that time in my shop, probably 88% or more of my traffic was coming into Etsy through things that I had up on Pinterest. So, yes, Etsy got me some traffic, but it wasn't, at that time, it really wasn't because I was rocking my SEO in Etsy. It was my own Pinterest driving people to the Etsy shop. So what was happening for many months was all of those pins were taking people to Etsy, and I wasn't open. So it was also taking them straight to my competition. So these are things that, you know, that's evidence that would have been, it was available to me that I wasn't using. When we look, especially if we're talking about Etsy, you look in your dashboard, there's so much really, really valid and applicable information. And your traffic source is a really, really important one. You should be looking in there to know where customers are finding you from and make sure that you're investing your ad time and money there. Keep that going. If something's working, don't let that die. Keep an eye on that. When it does start to die, then maybe run the five whys on that. Why is that dying? Why is the popularity waning? So backing away, when you look at your emotions and you look at your evidence together, you know, are you angry? Are you tired? Are you hungry? And what time of day is it? Like, literally, you can get really into what your biorhythms tell you about. Should you not make decisions between like 1 and 3? Because I've come to that conclusion. That's just not my best thinking time. I have other times in the day where my creativity or my reasoning skills just seem really switched on. And then, I don't know, 1:30, it's like, I need to do something that's mindless, you know? So there are patterns to look at, not just in our business, not just in sales, and not just in traffic reports and conversion rates, although we are going to talk about those. They're huge. There are patterns in your own behaviors. And, you know, we've been living with ourselves a long time, right? So we take those for granted. But, you know, you can track your moods. You can track your emotions. You can kind of journal little, it doesn't have to be like, you know, journaling 5 pages a day on all the feels that you feel, but you can track just what kind of things are maybe affecting you and have a look at that to see if you're making kind of very, very irrational decisions or if you're just every day is like, it's a whole new adventure. I'm crashing through the day with no strategy whatsoever. What kind of things are making your triggers worse? You could sit down and make a list of just your pet peeves, what things really upset you. Is it traffic? Do you get mad, waiting in traffic, or do you feel, terrible when you have to do this or that? And kind of look for patterns within yourself that you can maybe head off at the pass. You know, I love how they say avoid stress, right? That's, well, of course, you know, you read all these things on health and wellness, and avoid stress. Great. That's a great idea. How are we supposed to avoid stress? It's not like we wake up every day and say, ooh, let me go find the stress. It comes to us, right? And so heading off these patterns are things that we can build into our systems too. And that's something that we will talk about in another episode. But the first thing is to fly above the situation and look at the bigger picture. What's a bigger outcome that you're working toward? And are you being emotional because you have a really good reason? Is someone asking you to do something, and is your reaction a negative one for a good reason? Is it because someone's asking you to do something that takes you in another direction away from your goals, but you hate to say no to someone? So now you feel guilty and you feel icky. By looking at a situation that way, you can really take a lot of the guilt, I guess, off of yourself of, I feel bad that I even feel bad. You know, feeling bad that you feel bad is now we're diving into a deeper level of self-destruction. Don't feel bad that you feel bad. Acknowledge that you feel bad and then say, so, okay, I feel bad. Here's some reasons why I feel bad. If you don't know right off the bat, now you have a couple of ways that you can figure that out, right? Here's why I feel bad. So this is what I'm going to do. And then whatever your reaction is, whatever your reply to somebody is, at least it's grounded now and you had a little bit of a strategy going into why you made that decision. I hope that this has helped. I hope that you'll subscribe to these podcasts. The next one, as I said, we will really get into not just talking about, hey, systems are important in your business, you need them. It's going to be more of, okay, how do we actually build systems that show me the numbers that actually matter to my business? So thank you so much for joining me. This is Michelle Baker, your host of Hat Chats. Have a great day.